land to produce beef from cattle. Is it better and better use of resources as we face so many environmental challenges to actually produce meat in a lab?
Yeah, that's right. And yeah, so this research is saying that it's going to be around 45% less energy, upwards of 80% or so less greenhouse gases, and almost 99% less land usage. And this is a time when the world's expecting around a 40% increase, you know, half again growth in how much meat's going to be consumed around the world. So this is likely to be an additional stream of beef or pork. It's unlikely to replace current farming methods, but it does pose a really interesting quest for society. Do we value that approach, or do we think that we have to stick with what we already know?
What about all the pastoralists in the Northern Territory? What about all the cattlemen? What about the people across the country who live on the land and who rely on that as their income? What happens to those people if we went down this path?
Well, I guess this is the conversation that we've been having as society for a couple of millennia. Should technology replace something we already know? And the fact is, sooner or later, new technologies do replace what we know. Farmers, though, are fantastic at being able to adapt their farming processes. Australian farmers are, you know, arguably the best in the world. We produce fantastic livestock, fantastic grains on really poor soils compared to what other parts of the world have. So there's no doubt there'll be an adaptation process. And the question here is whether, not so much whether it replaces the current methods, but what we can do in terms of feeding other people using this particular process, whether it becomes viable, society will tell in the future.
Would lab-grown meat be cheaper than the real thing?
I'd expect it would be. If you're talking about spikes in energy costs, for instance, and access to fresh water to be able to produce stuff, if the research is accurate and we're seeing that there is, you know, substantial reductions in the amount of inputs required to produce the same sort of output in the form of a lab-based meat, there's no reason why that couldn't take place. You're going to get some fairly substantial improvements in productivity around the world.
And would we go to the freezer section to buy this lab-grown meat, or would it be in a can?
Yeah, I think we're still in early stages. If you talk about some of the reporting that's being done now and how some supermarket chains have or allegedly have been injecting water and other sorts of things into slabs of meat now in order to increase their weight and therefore how much they sell them for, you know, this type of manipulation process of the end stock, the end product, is already taking place now. So there's no reason why it couldn't be shaped like a ham steak or a T-bone steak. You know, these are simple cosmetic issues more so than anything sort of substantial about where would you have it, is it in a box, is it in a can. It's not hard to do once you've got the actual production process up and running.
24 to 5, 105.7 ABC Darwin. Our futurist Marcus Barber here talking about lab-grown meat. Marcus saying that we're not that far away from actually serving it up for dinner on a regular basis. A couple of comments on our Facebook page about that this afternoon. There's one comment from Tracy. She says it's as bad as GM foods, as genetically modified foods. Is it a GM product or is it... is it something completely different?
No, it's not a GM product at all, and that's the substantial difference. It is a cultured process in much the same way now as we culture cheese out of milk products. So the research is heading down that type of approach to be able to make this possible. It's definitely not a GM food.
Mm.
And I still understand that there's going to be consumer, but I'm not an advocate either way. For me, it's as a futurist, it's an interesting development that poses some, not so much moral, but certainly social challenges for whether or not we're willing to buy the product.
How interesting. Very good. Thank you very much, Marcus. Nice to talk to you. We'll speak to you next week. Bye-bye. Marcus Barber, futurist, food for thought. Ho, ho, pun intended. 2325, sorry.